This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, my cat-loving friends. We have had kitten fostering experts like the kitten lady Hannah Shaw. We have had TNR experts like Sterling the Trap King Davis. What about your average human who has another job and cannot devote their life to this? It just so happens. We had a client the other day who's very active with TNR and fostering, and we asked her to come talk to us about her take and how she manages it with everything else in her life. So we're going to take a short break for this commercial, and we will be back with Rachel Comte. Hey, it's Linda Hall from 19 Cats and Counting.
And I'm Rita Reimers from 19 Cats and Counting. You know the expression that cats have 9 lives? Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life.
How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control the free-roaming cat populations, too. You can learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org.
That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 19 Cats and Counting. I am your co-host, Linda Hall, here with the bestest BFF on the planet, my friend Rita Reimers. How you doing, babe?
I'm good. We have the tail end of Debbie hitting us now. Just a little bit of rain. We're very lucky, but everybody who's in the path, there's already been, I think, 5 lives lost.
Yeah.
Say a little Florida prayer. Everybody stay safe. I worry about the kitties outside. Luckily, people like Rachel are looking out for those cats.
Exactly. So let's bring her in here. Hi, Rachel. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You didn't know when you signed up for a cat behavior session that you were going to end up being a podcast guest.
I didn't. I was panicked when I reached out, and look how it worked out.
Look how it works out. We were like, we love her.
Yeah. We really enjoyed talking with you, and we admire your dedication to TNR and fostering. Those things that we can't really do because we already have 31 cats in our sanctuary, but it's so necessary. If you love cats or you hate cats, TNR should be something 100%. That you applaud. Am I right?
100%. And I'd like to focus on the TNR for our first half and then look at the fostering because there's a lot there.
Yeah.
So like I said, we've had Sterling the Trap King Davis on. He's devoted his life to TNR. He's one of the coolest dudes I think we've ever met.
He's lucky he could do that, but not all of us can do
that. But yeah, so how do you work that out? You know, I just worry that everybody else is saying, well, that's great. He gave his life to it, but I got a 9-to-5, right?
Yeah. When I moved to this house that I'm at right now, on this street, there were so many strays. And where I lived before, you know, there was a few here and there, but they were everywhere here. And there were litters of kittens. And I live in sort of a lower to middle class area. People just don't have time. And I don't think a lot of people know about the resources that are out there. And because I love animals, I happen to know a little bit about it. And so, people were complaining about the number of cats and the whole bird, you know, all the things that you hear about of all the strays everywhere and marking and fighting and all the stuff. So I just decided that there's an organization here called, I'm in the Cincinnati metro area, and they're called Ohio Alley Cat Resource. They have a TNR program that's funded by a grant, and you can get a trap from them, trap the cat, take them in the day you trap them, and then pick them up the next day and then let them out again.
Nice.
And so I did about 8 or 9 on my street, and I got the kittens and found them home. So it took a couple years. And, you know, I might do 1 a week. I just couldn't get to all, you know, you have to drop them off pretty early in the morning because they get fixed that day and you pick them up the next day. And then you got to pick them up the next day really early. So my dad, who is retired, who lives nearby, was a Sherpa on some of it. So he helped out too, because yes, I have a full-time job, and so I can't do all the running back and forth. Yeah.
But so. That's wonderful. And I've got a neighbor who's as irritated with the Pharaohs as I am. So maybe I could work it out. Like, I'll get the trap and get them set, Jane. And then you go run them in the morning. I know she's an early bird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easy peasy.
So that's great. You're drafting your family into helping.
And my dad is absolutely willing to help. He doesn't want to do the organization and the work, but he said, give me a task. I'll do it. I'll help out.
Nice.
So, that's worked out. Yeah.
So, you know, and that was one of my other questions that you already answered because, you know, again, Sterling, the trap king, he has traps. He's invested in all of these traps and yada, yada. And again, this is not an expense I can take on while caring for 12 of our sanctuary cats.
Oh my God.
So, you know, but so there are organizations that will loan you the trap. So all you have to do is get it, set it up, take them, drop them off, pick them back up, let them go.
And the traps for OAR is the acronym for that organization. You pay $75, but it's refunded when you bring the trap back.
Oh, it's so like a deposit.
That's in the cost, but okay. You have to front a little bit of money and then you get it back.
That's a wonderful idea.
If you're doing regular trapping, do they lend it to you like open-ended? You can bring it back whenever?
Yeah, I ended up checking one out for about 3 weeks at one point. And then they want you to bring it back. I think they just don't want to be losing them all over the city.
Sure,
you know?
I understand that.
But I did for a while think about buying my own. They make sure that you use their type. So they say if you're going to buy, we need to buy this exact one.
Is it the have a heart trap?
Yeah. And I just never ended up doing it.
I have had a recent conundrum. I read an article and then I did a search and found several of them. Apparently, there are people in the United States in different areas that are trying to make it illegal to TNR. I'm growling. I'm sorry. Make it illegal to TNR because they are equating this to kidnapping living beings, doing surgery without their consent, and then sending them back confused.
Well, you know what? Did my cats consent to being spayed or neutered?
No. And there are a lot of people who get upset about that. So thoughts, Rachel?
I could see, you know, we make our pets into little humans. And so I can see that kind of feeling like that's against their will, you know, sort of thing. But the reality is, at least for me in my neighborhood, our population was exploding. So the alternative is not doing that and having not 12 strays on the street, but 40 or 50.
Exactly.
And I just can't see how that's better.
And that's what's happened over the years, because, you know, back when I was growing up, none of that was a thing. Spaying and neutering wasn't as, you know, widespread as it is now. In fact, it's required in a lot of cities. That's why we have so many cats outside. And it does, like you said, it takes a while to even make a dent, right? But for every female that you get spayed, you have saved, what is it, over 8 years, something like 2 million kittens
million.
From being born.
Yes.
Million.
A lot. Yeah, they used a statistic like that at OAR, and it was amazing. And see, in the morning when you drop them off, you have to go pick up the kitten, the cat that you dropped off the day before at 7:30, and then you drop the new cat, whatever you have, if you have another one.
Change.
Yeah, at 8. I didn't do I had a few days in between, but there were people lined up outside the door in the morning to do it. So a lot of people are doing it. And I know if people have problems with the ear.
The ear tip.
But in a feral environment out in an urban area, that's the only way you know it's been done.
That's true.
It saves them from getting trapped again, taking it again, finding out. And it's not so difficult to decide on a male, although those cats are crazy when caught. But with a female, good luck figuring that out.
Yeah. Exactly.
I don't mind the ear tip, but when they take off half the ear, I have to say, you know, you could have been a little more.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just found it. I was looking for this. I had copied this off social media. It's not just his own tail he's chasing. A male cat can father as many as 2,500 kittens in 1 year.
That's
so
really
we
horrible.
Tend to focus on what the females are creating, but the males too. And here's where I'm looking. If we don't take care of them, they get injured. Nobody knows. They're not vaccinated.
There's not enough food out there for them.
There's not enough food out there.
I've read about cats, you know, females that are pregnant eating rocks out there because they're so hungry.
Yes.
Why would you want to promote suffering like that? I don't understand why people would be against trap neuter release.
I think the people who are talking about it's unkind or cruel or whatever, you're just not seeing the whole picture.
They're not.
Yes. I kind of agree. So I accidentally trapped a feral.
Oh, I remember that.
A couple of years ago.
Little Tasmanian devil.
One of my cats escaped and it was a young kitten. And I never thought I would admit that I was scared of a kitten before, but that cat was like crazy wild animal scared. I do understand, you know, I hate scaring a cat like that. But what are the chances of a female cat getting pyometra, which usually by the time it's a cancer for females only, it's very, very common. And by the time you know of it, it's usually too late to do anything about it. You know what the solution for that is? Hysterectomy. You know, yeah, we do the TNR on this cat. She's never going to get this cancer.
There's a campaign here. I'm going to put it in the chat.
Good. Thank you.
Give them 10.org.
If you go to that website, it's Scooter the Neuter. And so his...
I love that. I have a little picture.
Yeah, and it says hip spectacles, no testicles.
Yes, I love that.
So the ad is really funny and it was done locally. I thought it was a national ad, but it's here locally and it's about spaying and neutering. And it's not just for one organization, I don't think, but...
Yeah.
Just really good. You should watch the ad.
I love that.
So here's the other thing, though. If people don't TNR, right? So there's all these cats and kittens out there. It's also illegal in a lot of places to feed the stray cats.
Ohio's one of them.
Yeah, I lived in Los Angeles, and that's another place where in Beverly Hills, it was illegal to do that. They arrested this 90-year-old woman who was feeding the feral. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
I saw that.
The people who are against TNR, they're promoting suffering out there and starvation and no resources for these cats. Plus, then people are upset the cats, you know, attack the wildlife, eat the birds.
Yeah. And so I have, there's people in my neighborhood that, you know, say you should not be feeding them. But my thought is, well, I've fixed them all. And so I'm making sure they're not reproducing. And they're animals. I want to take care of them.
Yeah.
But feeding them without fixing them, I think, is irresponsible. That's my opinion. But
no, yeah. I agree. We had an example of that in an apartment my daughter lived in for a while. It was like a house made into two apartments. And the other lady was feeding the ferals. God bless her. She didn't want to see him go hungry. And she had hooked up tarps over her kids. Her kids were too old for their swing set anymore. Basically, she made this shelter and she fed them, but she wasn't TNRing them. There was no resource she could find, and she was incredibly low income, so she was just feeding them, and they were everywhere. You got fleas just from walking. She was across the street from a popular park where they have a lot of soccer games, so cars. I'll let you fill in the rest of what happened to some of those cats. It was horrible. So I respected and appreciated on one level what she was doing, but on the other hand, she created another problem.
Yeah, and I do feel I feel the low income part of it, because not only do you not have resources to go pay the $75 for the trap, even if you get it back, but you might be working shift work, or you might be, I mean, it takes time. So I think it's also easy for me to say it's irresponsible to do that when I have resources. So I'm aware of that too. Is what I would say. But
I'll say it's irresponsible if there are resources. And a lot of places have resources. And I don't think people take enough time to look into them.
Yeah, they don't know about. Right?
Yes.
You have to
do
some internet research. What actually got you started? Was it just seeing all the ferals in your neighborhood, Rachel?
Yeah. And I've been a cat person. I collected them when I was little. Like, just always been a cat person.
Me
and
too.
I was just stunned how many strays there were here. That was the thing. That the fostering is a different story, but the TNR stuff is just, I moved into an area and that was a need. And so people on my street, you know, they know it. They just, very few resources. So I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. And some of them are feeding them. And which is, so we worked it out on our street between our neighbors.
And this is why we love you and are so appreciative of you for doing it. It's very easy to just say, you know, can't do it. Don't have the resources. I'm out.
Well, there were some weeks where I was like, I'm not doing this week. I don't
Right? And that's okay.
Yeah,
that's okay, right.
And that's the thing. Like, it took me multiple years to get the masses. You're not going to do it right. It was not a fast process. But the other thing was, I told my neighbors anytime they saw a litter of kittens, just tell me, because I will take them. I found them homes. There was, you know, there haven't been too many, but I just like, we have to stop the hemorrhaging, you know. I'm trying to fix them all, but we can't have more out there because can't fix them all. So also put the word out for that.
I love that you said that. I love that you said that about, I wasn't in the mood this week. This isn't something you have to commit your life to. If you do it once and take care of one cat, if it's male, that's 20,000 kittens
million.
In a year.
Yeah.
If it's a female, that's 2 million over 8 years. That's insanity. That's huge. That's helpful.
It is helpful. Yeah. Even one is helpful. Yep.
And, you know, the females can get pregnant by more than one male at a time, too. So tackling the female, I don't know about you, but I always thought tackling the females first was probably a good idea.
I did ask them at the OAR place, and they said, you know, they'll meet it kind of thing. I quit, you know, in the spring when all the males come around that aren't normally here, you know, and I was like, oh, man, here come the rapists.
And then what do those outdoor cats do to your cats, right? A lot of people don't know or don't believe they have ferals outside in their community. Oh, I never see them. You don't need to see them. Your cats don't need to see them. They just need to smell them.
Yeah.
And that does, and it causes so much upheaval. So on the other end, now let's say we TNR a cat and it's not a feral because that happens.
Ooh, Linda,
and this
has
is one of the reasons I want to, I have one of those. And this is one of the reasons I want to segue into some fostering, but I know we're coming up on a break. So after a word from our sponsor,
we'll be right back. As soon as we hear from our awesome sponsor to talk about fostering the other half of the equation, we'll be right back.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
And we're back with 19 Cats and Counting with my BFF, Ride or Die, Linda Hall. And we love Rachel Comte and everything she is doing for the cats in her neighborhood. TNR, TNR, TNR is what it's all about, folks, to control that cat population. What about the other half of that? The kittens
fostering.
That are out there,
yes.
Right? And the ones that are young enough to be brought in and socialized.
Yes.
We need fosters for those, right?
Not only do the shelters and the rescues need those fosters, but I'll tell you a story about my kismet. We had a lady that ran a rescue, and she set out to do a big TNR run on some ferals she had seen. Well, she trapped some ferals, but one of those cats, that's an orange boy that we've named Kismet because he was meant to be mine.
He was
purring and rubbing against the cage. And she said, that's not a feral. And when they took him in to get him neutered, they found out he was FID positive. So they really, plus he was beat to snot by the ferals. He really shouldn't go back out. So fortunately, she ran a rescue and had a space for him. But what happens to those cats if they don't, right? If they have fosters available. So talk to us about your fostering experience on that end, Rachel.
Yeah, so there's an organization here called CincinnatiAnimalCare.org, and it is a nonprofit that runs the Hamilton County Animal Shelter. They've been running that shelter just since 2020. I think it was SPCA before that. It's Ohio's first open shelter with a no-kill philosophy. And they say they take in around 8,000 animals a year, dogs and cats mostly.
That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And I kind of went through a bumpy patch in my life and was sort of kind of struggling to remember what I did for fun and what I liked, and was kind of talking with a friend about it and like, okay, where do I find joy? And I was just like, I don't know, I like kittens, you know, and just sort of like blubbery crying. And I just was like, I'm going to look into that. So I volunteered at a couple shelters for a while, but that was something that sort of filled my bucket, but also took from my bucket too, because it was hard work.
That compassion fatigue, it'll get you.
Yes, yeah. So I found CARE, we just call them CARE, and they have a foster program. And so you can foster kittens and they will let you know when they have some. And I have a kind of a plastic playpen sort of area in my living room, and I put a piece of linoleum under it. And I get kittens from like, I don't know, June till maybe October-ish, usually 3 or 4 litters a year. And oh my God, it's so much fun.
Oh, that's amazing. I don't know that I could give them back. That's my problem.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I kind of was like, how is something that I love doing so much helpful to, you know, usually that stuff isn't helpful.
It's
more selfish and this is the best thing ever. So you, for the animal, Cincinnati Animal Care, you keep them until they're 2.2 pounds. So till they're the point where they can be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take them back and they get fixed and then they get adopted. So that's the process. And sometimes you get them at 2 or 3 weeks. Sometimes you get them at 8 weeks. It's all, and sometimes there's a litter of five and sometimes there's just one. It's all different. But yeah, taking them back is really hard. So I came up with a list my brother helped me. So here are my rules. So this isn't like so hard that I can't do it. So number one, when I take them back, I have to drop them off that day because I can always go back the next day. So that's the one thing, like drop them off. They do have to be fixed, but you can go back the next day. So that's one thing. Two, you have to know it's going to hurt and you're going to cry and that's okay. Like life is not about avoiding pain altogether. So you just have to accept that that's coming. And also you get another litter pretty quickly. So then there's just another whole litter that needs to be cared for. And so that helps. But also the other thing, which is, I think is kind of goofy, but it works, is I kind of think of myself as a teacher and them as the students so that they're graduating and they're going on to their next thing. So it's not like I'm a mother who's, you know, giving up their kids or whatever. So it's like, yeah, you're graduating. Good luck.
I'm a teacher.
Just little mind games.
I love that. I mean, using your philosophy, maybe a lot more people were willing to dip their toe in fostering. Linda, remember we had Hannah Shaw on our show where we were asking
kitten
her
lady
about how she parts with the cats. What did she have to say? Do you remember?
She said, they are mine for a time. They're not mine. They're mine for a time. And she said, you know, they're going to go to a forever home. And if I don't give them up, I can't take in any more.
Exactly.
So I am stopping where I could impact a zillion kitties versus these two that I end up keeping, right?
I actually started tearing up when you were talking about, this is what gets me, because I just thinking about giving up any of the ones that have crossed our threshold, I know I couldn't do it. So I know that's not for me, right?
Yeah,
I am a sanctuary person.
Yeah, and that's another role. That's
you're
a different
doing so much good by doing what you're doing because it's so needed.
And for me, I think too, when you think about I can't take any more on if I keep these, is for me is like I want to help as many as I can, and that is, and I know you guys are doing that, but in a different way. Yeah, I just think if someone said you could help all these kittens, but you're going to have like 3 days a year where you're just crying all day. Okay. I can pay that price.
Sure.
That's the price of love for anyone.
Yeah. You know? So that's sort of the way I just know that day. It's just like, okay, this hurts, but that's okay.
Do you keep the fosters apart from your own cats, or how do your cats react to this situation?
Well, so as you know, I just had, after 4 years, had my first foster fail. So I had a new kitten, but up until that point, I have one cat, and because they're in a playpen, they're not out running around. So she doesn't like it, but she sort of just stays away. So you can see I have an open house, really have a guest room or like closed in space. So there isn't anywhere to, some people put them in a guest room and they have a whole room, but I can't do that. So when they get to 10 or 11 weeks, then they can jump out of the playpen. So that age is actually good to take them back. Because my cat gets a little more stressed. My cat in my room at night, you know, like I just try to keep them as separate as possible. But I think my cat knows, or at least she thought she knew, that it was temporary.
Yes, exactly.
She's like, why is this one staying?
Yeah, yes. You forgot one, Lainey. There's one left here.
You happened to find the cat that was meant to you in your foster endeavors. I believe that's it. I also think it's a great idea. There are a lot of people that are like, I just don't know if I can take on the care of a cat. My kid swears they're going to take care of it, but we all know in 10 minutes the kid's going to lose interest. Fostering a cat is a very good way to find out if this is a fit for your home or not.
Yeah.
And if things go wrong, you can take them back. Also, kittens have, you know, they're easygoing like babies, right? Like you can pass them around. They're not
except
as impacted.
Except that Tasmanian devil you trapped.
Yeah, that was a little crazy and scary. That was very scary. But yes, I think they're easier to adapt to someplace else.
They are.
And fostering gives another benefit that we haven't mentioned, and that is that making them people friendly. Some people get these cats from the shelter. They don't know their personality because they behave differently in a shelter.
Or they've not been handled.
Yes, yes. And then they're very aloof. They're very scared of noises. They're not used to this or that. They've never lived with other cats, whatever. Fostering gives us that opportunity to handle them and socialize them. And you know their personality when you're sending them back. This one's kind of skittish. This one's super outgoing. This one's a court jester, whatever, you know.
Exactly. And that's the one that kept named Jeffrey, as you know. He was just different.
He's adorable.
4 years of kittens, and he was just different. And I didn't decide that day I had to take him back. Like, I couldn't have him. Like, I decided halfway through the foster, like, I think I have to keep this one.
I almost gave Gigi up. I went to, my mom used to run the Lancaster Humane Society of Lancaster, South Carolina. And I went to a trailer park to pick up some kittens for her. And I was taking them over to the shelter so they could be spayed and neutered. There was a 6 or 8 month old cat running around. I'm like, what about this one? Oh yeah, she needs an owner too. So I took her and I dropped her off with the rest of them. And then I went to my mom's house and I cried.
Oh,
he's like, you better go back and get Gigi. Because Gigi and I kind of bonded in the, you know, our ride between Rock Hill and Lancaster.
Oh.
So I tried. I wasn't going to keep her, but she's here.
You know, what I'm doing and what you guys are doing, it's so different. And all of it is needed.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's just not one way to help.
Amen. That's the quote of the night. Yes. Because our focus is to keep cats from being surrendered and to make everybody's lives happier, of course. But
yeah,
the main goal is to keep them from being surrendered because 30,000 cats are surrendered to U.S. shelters every year for behavior problems only. Our goal is to lower that number so that the shelters can continue to take in the cats that need the shelter and weren't rehomed for a problem. We fixed it instead.
And also so the shelters can be what they're supposed to be, shelters. And a lot of areas, they're just a conveyor belt to death, right?
The Cincinnati Animal Care uses a lot of partners around here to get adoptions. So some of the kittens go to a cat cafe, some go to some of their partners.
That's what happens here too now.
Yeah, yes. So it's really cool to see all the rays they get. And
the legs.
I have asked, you know, because when you drop them off, you feel like, kittens get adopted within the week.
That's our second phase to our sanctuary is a cat cafe. So yes, we can get those adoptable cats out into good homes.
Oh, yeah. I just did cat cafe yoga the other week. It was really fun.
That sounds amazing. It is fun.
We went to in L.A. only because we knew that they wouldn't adopt out to people who didn't live in the area. So we were safe. If we fell in love, there was no way we could adopt one.
Yeah. And believe me, I already had a couple picked out just from hanging out. They're like, oh, this one and this one. But they wouldn't let me. So, okay. Yes.
I love that you do have them out and not in a separate room because that way they do get more socialization.
They do, yeah.
They become friendlier.
And I do let them out after a while. Like, they're just too cute. At first, I just let them out for an hour to play and then more, and then they're just so cute and they're everywhere, and that's just fun.
It's like getting the socialization. And I'll tell you, a lot of people like that have a dog and want a cat. It's so helpful when the shelter says this cat has been raised around dogs, this cat did fine with dogs, you know, that kind of thing. And that's what you're getting from the foster home that has dogs. This cat lived with other cats, this cat lived with, you know, it really helps to know that background and who they are.
One more thing I wanted to say about the Cincinnati Animal Care is they do fosters for dogs. They have a ton of dogs that need fosters. For me, that's too hard. But you could take dogs out for day trips, doggy day trips. So they have
a bandana
that says, adopt me, and you can take them to your house for the afternoon to go hiking or whatever you want to do. And so I sometimes do the day trips, which is really
cool. I love that. So the dog gets some enrichment, they get some exercise and companionship. Linda and Brian are still looking for the dog to fit in with the 12 sanctuary cats. They had a dog.
That's a perfect way to do it, just to see.
That's what I was thinking. Yes, exactly. I have a lot of specifications. So it'd be nice to be able to borrow a dog.
So I just wanted to put that pitch out for them because
that's amazing. Thank you. Yes.
Well, we're coming to the time where we need to wrap up. Unfortunately, We would love to have you back on again, Rachel. I'm hoping that everybody listening, it's encouraging them to think about TNR and foster a little differently. TNR is a huge benefit to your community. And fostering is also a huge benefit. You know, if you would like to have a cat or a dog in your home, but you don't want to commit to a lifetime, do some fostering. You know, help these pets live in a home environment so that they have a better chance of finding an adopter.
Yes.
Linda.
Shout out real quick to Cincinnati Animal Care and Ohio Alley Cats for what they are doing, because they are enabling Rachel to do the work she's doing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you have any last words of wisdom for us, Rachel, before we wrap up?
I don't think so. I just think there, if you want to help animals, there is some level of help out there that you can find that's not going to tax you too much.
Yeah.
You just have to do a little bit of looking around.
Amen.
We love that. I hope this gets people more involved and realize that they can contribute so much. They don't even realize that they can. Linda, my ride or die, thank you so much for being my partner in crime.
I told you not to tell about that.
And of course, Mark Winter, for giving us this awesome opportunity on Pet Life Radio. We give you our thanks. Everybody listening, don't forget, every day is Catter Day. We'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.